This is Channel 2 Right. This is Channel 2 Right and beginning of the visit with Uncle Gil this Saturday about noon, right after Miss Bessie's visit, this 20th of February 1971, Channel 2 Right. Channel 2 Right and beginning of the visit with Uncle Gil this Saturday, right after the visit with Miss Bessie. Channel 2 Right, Uncle Gil.
And Uncle Gil knew about Colts, all right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they're fine. They're really fine. They said they're not, either one of them is not a year old yet, is it?
No. He's long-legged, isn't he?
Yes, sir. Really fine.
He got them long legs, you know, from that stallion down there. This boy that works out here helped me out there in the summertime.
Yes, sir.
He got to knocking around with some of them boys that work down there at that horse farm.
Oh, I see.
And they got them big stallions down there.
Yes, sir.
They paid $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 for them. And he had this horse bred down there. He see, he was one of them fine stallions. Didn't cost him a nickel. They even come and got the mare. You see, that's what happened when the boys.
That's right. Well, that was good.
Yeah. Uncle Gil, how did you all manage when you bred your animals?
Well, we never did do that. I mean, we never did. Now, I did have I can't remember. She never did take, I never did have a colt. Never have raised a colt.
Oh.
We just had mules.
Yeah.
For farm mules.
Yes.
We didn't, well, we did have a, yeah, because I had a mare when I married. I did, my father, he bought her, and, I bought her from him even when I was at home. I bought her from him.
Yeah.
And I just was grown when I married.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I was 22 when I married. 22.
Well, now, what horses did you have then? What stock did you have then?
When I married.
Oh, you use your daddy's stock.
Well, I bought my own stock. You see, he bought a. I might have told you about that. He bought a good place. It had original yellow pine on it, and a good deal of it. And,
I can hear you.
And it was good land. And he,
oh yeah.
He sold me and my brother that place. It was just 100 and I think it was 110 acres. In that place. He sold me and my brother. We had put a sawmill on there and cut that timber. Yeah. And I caught it, just throwed away the timber, having it cut. I logged that mill and I put the logs to the mill and the man sawed it on half. The man saw it, he take half of it.
Get a little water for you.
Yeah.
That's some right there.
So when we got it cleared up, we farmed that, and I made good crops on them. My father, he was all the kind of, his land was pretty run down, poor. You see, thank you. He would have bred cotton on it every year. That is on the highlands and down on the lowlands where next to, we had creeks and branches, you know, down on the, we call it bottoms, down on creek bottoms, where he planted corn and sowed grain, wheat, oats.
Year after year?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He won that. And he was a great, you know, cut with cradle, you know.
Yeah.
You remember? He was a great cradler, too. He could cut them.
Oh, he could.
You know, or he cut them out.
Yeah.
Well, you know a fella can do a whole lot of work with one of them cradles.
Yes,
seen it done.
Oh, yeah, sir. He can do a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That was all the gold then.
Well, what animal did you have when you moved over here, Gil?
When I came to Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, what did I do first? I bought an old mule, first thing. And then I sharecropped with Mr. Lon Smith, Ms. Agnes Smith?
Yeah.
Lon Smith. I then met Porn where Richardson got now, where they got in pasture. I farmed there with him a number of years.
Well, then you didn't have to have your own.
I didn't have to have my own stock. He had he had the stock. But I did. What did I? I had one or two mules of my own then. And I sent back to my boy, back to South Carolina, and got my Fordson tractor.
Yeah.
And they brought it here. I wore it out or done something with it. I know they said it or anything. I wore that thing out. And he had one too. He had a Fordson tractor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Did it have them lug wheels?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. That's right. No, you understand.
Well, where did you get your mules? Here.
My mule, I sent to Carolina and got two mules. See, I left all my stock there. My brother, he took them. Let me see, did I get that one that I left there? I don't think I did. I think I just got two of his.
Well, you didn't buy anything down here. You just sent back up
see,
there.
See, I know I bought the last mule that I worked. I bought it here. I bought it from Mr. J. Thrasher. The old man was living there.
Yeah.
Mr. J.'s father. I bought that mule from him. I'm trying to think, did I buy another mule down here? I don't believe it is. I don't remember buying another mule down here.
Well, what kind of mule was that you got from Mr. Thrasher?
It was a bay, kind of, it was a bay color. Mule, they call. It was right small. It wasn't so large a mule. Now, this mule I brought from South Carolina, they're pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Big mule. Didn't necessarily need a mule that large just to farm.
Well, that's right. That's just like a tractor. You know, a lot of things you do with a tractor here, you don't need a big one.
That's right.
A little one's better, really.
That's right.
Now, you go out there and spread a little fertilizer or put out some seed. Well, you don't need a great big tractor for that, do you?
No. No, sir, that's right. No.
Well, what'd you do? Just have little mules and big mules? And
well, let me see. I'm trying to think. Did I have... I might have bought that little mule, small mule, after... What did become of the mule? I let Adam have one of the mules that I brought from South Carolina, and he sold that mule to a man way down near Miami. What was it? What was he? And he came up here and got him.
Is that right?
He came up here in a truck and got that mule. And I kept the other one. I imagine she finally died on my hand. I don't remember. Might have died in the time that I was working with Mr. Longsmith on that pond. Right? And then he had a place up the road, up the railroad there too. Yes, the old man, J.H. Bradley. I believe he was J.H. Hubbard. His name was Hubbard Bradley.
Yeah,
I shared crop with him. He was the first one that I farmed with, I believe. And he was called the meanest man in down here in Evanston. But I had no trouble with him. Me and him got along all right. In fact, I could get along with most anybody. All I want to know their ways and don't change up on me. Yeah, I can get along.
Well, what did he do on Gil that he had such a reputation?
How's that?
What all did he do that he had such a reputation as that?
Oh, well, it was, you see, anything of his, he would let you know that's his. if you borrowed from him, when you get through with it, bring it back here. And that's business.
Yeah.
That's business. Mm-hmm. Because you soon won't have nothing yourself. You put it, keep it, and he begin to think it's his, and maybe don't bring it back at all.
Oh, in them days, there was a lot of borrowing, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
They don't borrow anymore, do they?
No, that's right.
Not much anymore.
No. No, that's right.
And then they'd borrow some of his stuff, and then wouldn't bring it back.
That's right.
And he'd get after him?
No. They ain't going to bring his back because he let them know to start with. They ain't going to bring his back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He let them know to start with. Yeah, he tell them. Now, when you get through with it, you bring it on back here.
Yeah.
He was just a straight man. There's nothing wrong with him at all.
Yeah.
He wasn't a man that, like some people. They give you a whole lot, and take a lot from you. He'd give you yours, and he wanted his.
Yeah.
And that was business.
Yeah. Well, now, I don't know exactly how does that work out, Uncle Gil, when they give you a whole lot and then want a whole lot back.
Well, you see, accommodate you and give you the advantage of a whole lot.
Uh-huh.
But they have the advantage when they send the crop off. You don't know what it sells for.
Yeah.
And he just give you what he please.
I see.
That's right. There's nowhere telling. They send it on commission, but load it in a car and send you a produce onto the market.
Yeah.
And of course, you just tell you what it sold for and pay you what.
All they got to show for it, one little piece of paper, ain't it?
That's right. And all of them don't show you that paper, the bill, the thing. What it brought, he gets it. But
well, now these days they'll always show you that piece of paper.
They have to do it now.
they all do it now.
That's right.
Things change right smart, haven't they?
That's right. That's right. Mr. Boyle had lived in this house here. He would send the produce off. It was Boyle and Gill. Well, I got a letter from the post office. I don't know what I did wrong, but I didn't think about it. And I broke the letter open myself, It was Boyle and Gill. But, he got at me. I said, it was mine as much as it was yours. And I didn't think it was wrong for me to tie it open, the first name on there. But we didn't fall out about it. All right.
But he got after you?
Oh, yes.
he
didn't like it about me tying it over.
What did he say?
I just remember now. just what he said, but he let me know he didn't want me to tie it over.
Yeah.
He let me know he didn't.
Gil, did you have a farm in it with Miss Patterson?
Oh yes. Let me see. Have we farmed eggplants over there on this place right across that way? Ben Wright, that way. Liza's place.
Liza owned it then?
Owned it then. That's right. Mitt was living then, and he hadn't got paralyzed. He hadn't had that stroke when we was farming. I don't think he had. Yeah, we worked eggplants and all kind of stuff there on that place. And where else did we? And up on her place, we farmed there. Cabbages and all kind of stuff.
Now she knew pretty well how to farm.
Well, I don't know if she didn't know too much about farming, but. Just in the way that I farmed it, but that was right.
Yeah. She'd let you take care of the farming.
Oh, yeah.
Just work with you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, now, how did you all work out the expenses and things like that?
The expenses? Well, let me see. I'm trying to think, did she furnish the fertilizer? It was so much she furnished. You see, she furnished the tractor. I drove the tractor, and
she had that nice little John Deere, didn't she?
That's right.
That's a nice tractor.
It was, and I turned it over right over there and burned it up.
Is that right?
Yes, sir, burned the thing up. It hadn't hurt if it hadn't caught a fire. And then I couldn't. It had a good deal of gas in the tank, and it just burned.
Well, now that's before she got that little John Deere. Then
that was the John Deere. That thing cost me over $400. I fixed it in first class shape. We sent to Ocala, and I had it fixed. In first class shape. I told him to fix it in first class shape. And of course, it was in better shape when it come back than it was really, you see, when it went, because it needed some work on it before it went there. And of course, they just put in place new stuff where it needed it.
Well, I'll declare.
So it was in better shape when it come back.
Well, that cost you money, didn't it?
I believe it cost me over $400.
That's a lot of money.
Oh yeah.
And that was just right cash.
That's right. And why it cost me that, you see, I just used it like my tractor, and I was down here doing my work with it, not hers.
Oh.
She wasn't interested in that, you see. I could just go out and get the tractor and go out and do whatever work I want to do. And so I turned it over doing my work down there, but not hers.
Well, how come you
turned it over? Well, that happened in hers, of course, she would have paid the expense.
How come you had to turn it over?
Down there, going just right down side of the road. I done finished the work. And going down, I like for it to be clean on out to the edge, you know. Going down side that edge, right to the road that go down to Carries. Going down, it wasn't grown up so like it is now. Going outside that road there, it sort of tilt side like that. Tilt side, so I was easing on down, and that front wheel struck a stump, a low stump. And it just eased on over. And I just stepped right off it, but then it caught a fire. It just eased over, you see, it didn't turn over, because I was just driving slow, and it just eased. Oh, I see it was gone, and I just stepped off it. And
So it didn't hurt you?
Oh no, it didn't hurt me at all. Only dangerous, bad dangerous, me trying to put it out there. That little tank had to explode.
Now, if you had a chance to turn the key,
Yeah, maybe I don't know whether I thought about it or whether I didn't know what to do or what.
Yeah.
Or how. But
you don't have time.
That's right. But you see, after it caught a fire, I don't know whether the gas was running out of the tank.
Yeah.
Running out of the tank. If I had, as you said, if I could have turned that key and it was turning over.
Yeah.
Before it caught a fire, that would have saved it.
It might not. It might.
Yeah, that probably.
It's already hot, you know. It could have just.
It could have caught a fire on that old exhaust pipe.
Yeah.
Could have.
I never knew that happened.
Oh yeah.
You know that old lane going down there to Miss Liza's? It's been sort of slanty.
That's right. Just slanted up on the bottom. Right side of the road, you see, and it's a little bit slanted.
Yeah.
But if it had to truck that stone,
yeah,
it wouldn't have turned over.
Yeah.
But I was driving slow because I was looking out for the stump, but I failed to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking out for it because I know it belonged to be stumps there. I knew it.
Well, now, how did you trade with Mr. Thrasher for that little mule?
I bought it.
Yes, bought it.
Plain. Bought it from him. Bought it from him. I forget what the mule cost now, but I bought it from him.
And it's a pretty good mule.
Pretty good. It was a good little old mule. It had some little mean tricks about it. He didn't want to pull a wagon much. He didn't want to pull a wagon. It's a good plow mule, but hitch him to. I had a double, 2 horse wagon, and. Hit you in there, and sometimes you'd pull, and sometimes you'd take a noise, you didn't want to pull. Pull back and jumping up all kind of way. But she was a good little old mule.
Well, now, you mean, that one pulled all right, but some of them didn't? Is that what you said?
That one would pull sometime. You just have an act. Sometimes you wouldn't want to pull. She'd pull a wagon.
Yeah.
And then another time she'd go along pretty good. Don't give you no trouble, but.
Well, you think it was?
I don't know why she'd do that. I don't know why they'd do that. She just wasn't a regular wagon mule.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh.
That's right.
But she'd plow all right.
Oh, yeah, she'd plow a good plow mule. And easily kept up, too. Easily.
Did you ever have a one-horse wagon?
I did have yes, I had a one-horse, let me see now, did yes, that's right. When I was staying over there on where am I pointing? I'm pointing toward business?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I was staying on across on the county line road.
Yeah.
Right straight on across there. The Buddy Sawyer was staying there,
yeah,
when the house burnt down.
Yeah.
Well, I'd stay there. He come there, followed me.
Oh, you was there before he was?
Before he was. That's right. Well, he got the house burnt down while he was there. And let's see, what are the people? Oh, yes. The people that lived, that owned that lot there, the old lady, she's dead now, but the daughter, she's still living, her and her husband. They have a home in Gainesville, but I think she got a daughter in California. They go out there and stay locked up. Anyhow, this woman, we call her Miss Preston, Lawrence Preston was with her, and he died a few years before I came there, and that was in 28.
Mm-hmm.
Quite sure it was 27 or 8 when I went there. Anyhow, she just turned the thing over to me to just, I just worked there. She didn't have but 8 acres of land there. That wasn't nothing, you know. I used a farmer.
How much did she have?
Eight acres.
That didn't help you much.
With a house seat and all. So, she had a hay rake there, and let me see, with the mowing machine in it. I don't remember using the mower. But I treated the rig to a man named Mr. Roberts. He owned that place up there where I am now. And you see the old house there in Uriah's? They lived in that house. So I treated him, Hey Ray, for a one-horse wagon. Now, getting back to you, asked me to have one. For a one-horse wagon, and that's what I started off with. Then I bought the little old mule from him. Mm-hmm. I forget what I bought.
You know, let me tell you, people now get equipment that's too big for them. And they used to do the same thing. You know, for most of the hauling you do around the place, one horse wagon, great as plenty, wasn't it?
That's right. That's right.
And then some people had these two horse wagons, and you can get a little light box wagon, but some of them was heavy. You haul logs on them.
That's right.
You didn't need all that, did you?
Not particularly, unless you was hauling the heavy stuff. Heavy stuff.
Yeah.
It didn't even need. When I was just for farming purpose, but now like when I was in South Carolina and we was sawmilling and all, couldn't hardly get a wagon large enough,
mm-hmm.
hauling lumber and stuff. That's right.
Gil, you've seen Miss Patterson since she's been in the city.
I went there where she is now. I went there to see her.
Yeah.
Once. Then. Mrs. Davidson told me that they had stopped everybody from going there except the grandchildren and Mr. Paul.
Oh.
But I talked with Ms. Stanley, her sister, this morning on the phone, and she told me that they did cut that out a while, but she said that it's kind of let people go there, but not too much.
Yeah.
Maybe two can go in and talk with her at a time.
Yeah.
She's kind of deranged in her head. So.
Oh, it is? She seems
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, she's kind of deranged. Well, you know, now hers is lasting longer, but she was sick too to start with, and losing Mr. Patterson, you see. Now, when my oldest daughter died, that was Zeb's wife, my wife got in worse shape than Miss Patterson. She seemed like she lost memory complete. She couldn't remember anything.
Is that right?
She in the church at the funeral, she said she remembered the man, the preacher giving out a hymn, but she don't remember nothing about him preaching a funeral.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
And I didn't know a thing was wrong with her, you know, until we was going out. After the funeral and going out. And my daughter, they detected. No, not my daughter didn't, but the lady that my daughter stayed with, that was Mitt's sister, Mitt Whiteman's sister, Liza's husband. Mitt was dead before you come in. He was, so yeah. I see. Well, it was her husband. Liza's husband. His sister, she fell out and she called Mary. In fact, Mary stayed in West Palm Beach with her. But now, was she dead when you come here? Now, she stayed right over here, didn't it? Is that where she died? Or they cared to? She's named Laura. Yeah, Laura. Laura Washington. And,
who is she?
That was Mitt's sister.
Uh-huh.
She stayed in the house where Arthur stayed.
Yeah.
That hall.
Oh.
Yeah. And she was sick there, but well, I don't know whether she died there or not. I forget whether they carried to down there where she had some grandchildren in West Palm Beach. At her home, the state she have a home in West Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So I forget now whether she left here and went there and died down there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe did. Maybe she did. So
No. But your wife recovered.
Ma'am.
But your wife recovered. Your wife got better.
Oh, yeah. She wasn't so long.
Yeah.
Wasn't so long. See, she wasn't sick. Mm-hmm. She stayed there waiting on my daughters all the time, you know.
Yeah.
Just stayed right with her all the time until she died.
You know, Ms. Patterson has had so much pain.
Yeah.
And it's been going on a long time.
That's right. That's right.
And, you know, you just stand so much.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
And, I don't know. She used to sit up, you know, when we'd go in there and sit down and talk to her, it would sit on the store.
That's right.
She was in such pain then, she couldn't hardly live. But she kept going, didn't she?
That's right. That's right.
Oh, that's been going on a long time.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Now, when did you first learn about the witnesses?
Witnesses?
Uh-huh.
You see, my sister that live in South Carolina, she's a witness. She's 10 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
But she's a witness long before I was. And of course, there were the people come around visiting me and calling on me. I'd get maybe some of the literature. But
you wouldn't listen to them, right?
I wouldn't want to prepare.
Yeah. You're glad when they're gone.
But let me see now. I was up to South Carolina to my sister. That's the thing that got me pretty good. She got me.
You'd listen to her?
I listened to her.
Yeah.
And but she said to she asked me. I might have told you that before.
Uh-huh.
She'd asked me questions. Everybody called me Bub, white and colored in South Carolina. They knew me well. Bub.
Yeah.
Bub Gill.
Yeah.
She said to me, Bub. And she was 10 years old. And all of them considered me money as a father. I'd whoop them too if they didn't do right.
Yeah.
So, but anyhow, she said to me, said, Bub. They, you believe you have an immortal soul, don't you, that don't die? I said, oh, yes, I believe that. I said, uh-huh. I said, well, and do you believe you have a resurrection? Oh, yes, I do. I'm hoping to have a resurrection, sure. She said, well, then, Bob. If you don't die, what need would you have for a resurrection?
How about that?
I said, I hadn't thought about that.
What do you know about that? That's right.
I hadn't thought about that. So, I said, that is something to think about.
Yeah.
If he didn't die, he wouldn't need a resurrection. So I come and thinking over the thing then and studying. So finally, in 51.
Yeah.
And I was in 51. There was an assembly going on in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
So did she call me and write me? I believe she wrote me. But I just had come out to the hospital, and so I'm trying to think. It seemed like I might have been talking with her on the phone. I'm not sure, but anyhow, through it, she said that something I'm saw that you was kind of Polish, and I was just fixing to ask you to come and go to Washington with me. To the assembly. We have an assembly up there at Washington, and I want you to go up there. I just had got out of the hospital and come home. I hadn't been there for a few days.
What's wrong with you?
Let me see. I don't know. Seems like I was having bottom of stomach trouble.
Nothing.
You know, I was going to Dr. Strange then. And I was going to Dr. Strange with my doctor, family doctor, for about 26 years. And I was going to Dr. Strange then, too. And he said I had an ulcerated stomach. Ulcerated stomach. Now, that's what he said. But Dr. Fitzpatrick, when I got hurt in 54 and went to the hospital up there, and so he had them to, he ordered my meals, what to give me. So they come out with bacon. I told him I couldn't eat bacon. I didn't eat bacon. I have an ulcerated stomach. And I can't eat that bacon. He said, well, this is what your doctor ordered for you. They say you'll have to talk with him to change it. So when Dr. Fitzpatrick come in, I told him, I said, doctor, they brought me some bacon here for breakfast this morning. And I don't eat bacon. I said, I have an ulcerated stomach and I can't eat bacon. He said, who told you you had? Who told you had an ulcerated stomach? I said, Dr. Strange told me he'd been treating me for a number of years for an ulcerated stomach. He said, well, let's try it out. I said, eat that bacon. Go right on.
Is that right?
Been eating bacon ever since.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. He's been bacon ever since. So, since after I quit, you know, after I had that, I got hurt and that Dr. Strain operated on me down there, you know, and I don't know for what. I don't know why they let him do it. That operation hurts me worse now than the hurt was. I said, Dr. Strain killing me to see if I was hurt.
yeah.
You see, I think I told you about us falling on them nails.
No.
Punctured my urethra.
No.
Oh, yeah. Punctured. I fall straddle of a 2x8 with a... I took up the floor.
Yeah.
I tearing out old house and took up the floor. And the nail heads had rotted off, you know. They left the nails in there.
Man.
A chimney was about to fall on me, and I jumped on the inside and felt straddle of one of them 2x8 with the nails in. Yeah, it punctured my urethra. Water had come out on the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Dr. Strange, he
don't
said...
Don't tell me about that. I didn't straddle one. I fell down on one and hit me on the head. When I was a boy, and I fell from the rafters of the roof, they're putting on a roof.
Yeah.
I fell on them sleepers down there, and I haven't been the same since then. Oh, it knocked me winding. Them things is mean, ain't they? Lord,
Lord. Lord, must. That was a fall one that didn't kill you.
It sure is.
Wonder.
Just a boy. I was about 8 or 10 years old. Maybe that's the reason it didn't.
Maybe so. Maybe so. And just look.
So he had to operate on you?
Didn't have to. He said he thought maybe him nails had gone up the end of my bladder. And a little old short, you know, just about for flowing, tongue grew flowing.
Yeah.
And just and the head right off them nails. thought the nails had gone up in my bladder, maybe. And he operated to see what he had been. Lord, have mercy. I don't see why they let him do it. Agreed to let him do it. Well, I know there wasn't nothing wrong, no nails had gone up in none of my bladder. And that thing, I stayed down there 8 weeks. And he didn't wait on me at all. I left there. I had to get an ambulance. He came and gave me to that hospital. And Dr. Fitzpatrick taking the stitches out where he, so that show you that I've been there 8 weeks with them stitches. He wasn't paying attention to it at all. I couldn't blame him much. He allowed me to die. But I don't know why it was. But I was mean as I don't know what day in that old hospital. They wasn't treating me good, and I was letting them know it. I just saying anything I wanted. I said they can't do nothing but kill me, and I'm on your dead now. I don't care what I do.
Well, yeah, you had a time.
I don't know. They're giving me so many old shots and things. I say it must have had me most crazy or something. I don't know. And I just say anything I wanted to. I didn't care what they done. And then, yeah, and I couldn't blame them for being mean to me because I'm mean too. I'm saying just anything. They didn't care what happened to me.
Is that right?
So,
is that right?
So, Miss Patterson told them boys, you go talk with Lawyer Douglas and see what he said about it. Then you get somebody to go down there and get Uncle Gil from there and Cam to somebody. He'll die down there. And they did that. They
were she helped you out.
That's right.
Your boys.
That's right.
She talked to your boys.
That's right. And she told them that you go and see about it and get Uncle Gil from down there. They said, because he'll die down there like the treatment he's getting. So they went on. They listened to that chair and went on and seen. Talking to Lloyd Douglas, he told me go get Dan White. He's a running, he's undertaking there. Dan White, and go down there and get him, bring him on up here.
Well, now that was after your sister had got her. No.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was after.
Yes.
That's right.
Well, now, did you go, you was out of the hospital, and she wanted you...
Wait now, this time, when I got hurt, that was back in 51, I was just sick with stomach trouble, when she wanted me to go to Washington.
Yeah.
And so in 54 was the time I got hurt.
I see.
That's right. And I was having that time.
So you went on to Washington with her?
I did. That's right. I went on to Washington with her. Yes, we. So, I just, that is where I got attached, and I just went on. I seen it was the truth. It is the really truth. And, of course, I just stuck to it.
Now, when you went to Washington, you met a lot of people.
That's right.
And then you heard them talk.
That's right.
And you wasn't fighting it like you was when somebody come around to talk to you.
Well, I never did particularly fight it, no, but I wasn't paying no attention to it much.
But up there, you had a chance to put your mind to it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes, and it is really...
Plenty of space.
Really, really the truth and the only organization that I know of that is straight. It's straight. They don't have all kind of people in there. If they don't walk right and do right, do the right thing according to the scriptures, they must get out of there. Mm-hmm. We disfellowship them out of there, and don't speak to them no more if we can help it. We turn them out to the devil to for him to kill them. We don't interest about them coming back at all, because they knew the truth. You see, when they get in there, they know, they understand and know the truth about God's word. If they didn't, they said so.
Yeah.
So, now, have them turn back on doing things against Jehovah's will, must get out. And we don't pay no more attention to you.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that he can do, he can come back himself. We don't object him coming back, but we have it less to say to him as possible. And we, if he asks to be reinstated, we will maybe take him in and put him on probation, and he'll have a year to prove his faithfulness of whether he have repented of the and maybe Jehovah will forgive him. We hope. And after a year, if he proved faithful during that whole year, don't find him in any misdoing or going against things that is displeasing with Jehovah. Well, I don't mean to say that we don't do some things that displease him, but mean things that he can help. Yes, yes. Because we don't profess to not commit sin. Long as we are imperfect, you see, we'll do things wrong. We'll commit sin, too.
But you don't want somebody going along with you backsliding all the time,
no.
And you all acting like nothing's happened.
That's right. That's right. That's right. If we do those things that is against God's command, you see, he must get out and get straightened up.
Yeah.
He can't stay in that rhythm and go around preaching to people. Mm.
Well, now that time when you went to Washington to the convention with your sister, what do you think it was that appealed to you?
Well, I don't know. Of course, all the talks, you know, they were good. They had the president of the society. He was there, and he talking, and all of them. They give to a good talk. You ought to go sometime and listen to them, Mr. Meyer.
I ought to.
You ought to. You ought to. You see, they are right with the Bible. They are right with the Bible. It's So, and they will teach you the pure truth.
Yes.
Pure truth. And you'll find it too. And they're not pretending. They are endeavoring to live that. Live that, you see. Because we consider that, you see, like these religious organizations, such as the Methodist, Baptist, and all other Catholics, all of that, you see, they have any kind of people in there as members of that church, and they associate with them there right along. But we, the Bible says, no, you mustn't associate with those kind of people. No, you can't associate with them. Yeah, you can talk with them, and of course, and instruct them, and do all like that. But to just go and have them for your associate, no, you can't do that.
What do you all put your money in the most?
Most? we don't have much money.
Yeah.
We just get, you see, we have to have literature, books, and things like that. And now, like building this Kingdom Hall, like we're building up here now.
Yeah.
See, now, of course, the society, we had to borrow, so I think, $5,500, you see. Now, that is to get the material to do the building.
Mm-hmm.
And just the congregations from all about, we just come together and do the work.
Mm-hmm.
We just go ahead and do the work. And have the sisters to bring dinner and have plenty of food there to eat.
Yeah.
And just have a lively time there. And we've got mechanics of any kind, electricians. You don't have to pay for any labor in building that, doing the building.
So you don't have all them salaries and things like the other people do.
Like?
You don't have all them high priced officials and all like the others do.
You mean officials? You mean to pay? No. Nobody will get no pay. Ain't nobody got to pay, no. All of them are ministers, you see. Who gonna pay? And who gonna pay?
Oh, yeah.
All of them are ministers. You know, if they're baptized, dedicated publishers, they are ministers.
Yeah.
And they can perform the same way that a minister is to perform, too.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
Well, I didn't realize that.
Oh, yes. And it's legal. Legal.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
Well, now, do you do that?
Do what?
Some of the things that a minister does?
Well, you see, such as marrying people, I haven't had the opportunity like that, but it would be legal.
It would?
It would be legal, oh yes. Oh yes.
Yeah.
That's right. And let's see. What? And you see, of course, our preaching work is just like going around from house to house.
Yeah.
We talk with people, instruct them, and tell them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And down at your Kingdom Hall,
we just go there to learn, study. You see, we have talks.
Yeah.
The more mature brothers, they talk and explain, you see, and they're learning how to do better way.
Yeah.
Better way. That's right.
Faye, we got a Uncle Gil can't stay up here all afternoon. I just enjoying the talk.
Yeah, it's a good talk. And Ben's ready to go out.
Oh, yes. Well, I thought somebody might take him for this in a hurry.
Yeah, well, he's having a good time. He's out there talking.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Let's go out there and talk a little bit, Uncle Gil.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
And then we'll go on home.
You're going to take him home.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. Good to hear you, Uncle
good.
Gil.
Yes, I enjoy that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I get to see my neighbor so low.
You want to know?
Yes,
sir. I wanted to hear what you all found out.
I think that was a place there, where you had that, what you called it, that drain.
You had some crackers there, right?
I think that ought to make a pretty good garden there.
Yeah.
I told him it might would need to go out next to the fence row there, them trees. If he had a ditch cut along there where he cut the roots off, that would mean a little work.
Well, we got that old tractor plow out. That'd cut them off, wouldn't it?
Oh, afraid not.
Afraid
not. That'd go a little bit deeper than here maybe to get the roots.
Oh, you reckon?
I think it'd be best to get or shovel and, and an axe to be down and cut the roots off.
That's this side of them big trees there.
That's right. If you go out pretty close to them, you know, you notice stuff won't grow up close to them trees like you would out. So that is the reason the roots is drawing the...
Well, is there enough dirt out there to plant?
I think so. I told them if you... I don't hardly do it, burn litter off of the ground, but it'll work better if you let it singe that off.
Yeah.
And then cut it, and then you could... It would cut better with your disc, but do that right quick after you burn it off. because then it'll get tougher. The land will get tougher after you burn off.
Oh, it will.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you can't let it get there and go to sprouting out again. It'll be too tough, you can't do nothing with it on it.
Yeah.
After you singe it off.
So you got to singe it off and then go right ahead with your disc.
That's right. Disc it up. Cut it up.
Well, what else, Franklin?
Yeah. Well, you don't have to do it the very same day, you know, but before it starts.
That place down yonder.
Down in the bottom?
Uh-huh.
Well, that is stronger land down there. You wouldn't need much fertilizer, but that's in your pasture.
See, that's my friend. That's my friend. You just take him out there and talk to him. Well, Uncle Gil, next to having you doing the gardening, I guess that's all right. You telling us about it.
Yes, sir.
What started this was, he got a garden up there now, you see.
Uh-huh.
He got collards and cabbage.
Jim and I wouldn't know I need to plant a collard.
No. Have you all seen that up there?
No, I haven't.
Gail?
Sir?
When are you going to be at home?
When?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be home most all the time.
You be home in time today or tomorrow?
Well, not... What is the day of Saturday?
Yeah.
Well, tomorrow I won't be home. That's right. We'll be out in... I haven't been able to get out though here lately, but I do want to go out tomorrow in the field service way. We'll be down, you see, to Kingdom Hall till 12. And then in the afternoon, we'll go out in field service.
Would you have a cracker and some peanut butter?
What's that?
Would you have some peanut butter and a cracker?
No, thank you. Thank you so much.
Let me tell you, I'll take you on back down to Granddaddy's because I'm holding you up too much. we just keep you here all day.
I see you will. All right.
But you wouldn't get much out of it, would you?
We're not even out playing a garden.
Yeah.
Take back your car.
Okay.
All right,
Mister.
I left my hat out, John.
On the
bench, yes. It's out there on the bench. Now that's the end of that marvelous little visit, Uncle Gil. That's one of the best. I never expect to have a better. 9:50, almost the end of this tape. Channel 2, something or other. Channel 2, right. That's Saturday at noon after Miss Bessie, and just before old Gorman Etheridge came in for his first visit. Uncle Gil, Channel 2, right, this Saturday about noon. I caught him sitting on the front porch with Granddaddy. And Granddaddy's sitting out there on the picnic table all the time he was in here talking to the others. This Saturday, the 20th of February, 1970, Channel 2 Right.